Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have a fantastic guest and friend that I am going to talk to today to really talk about what exploring jobs in the federal government sector may look like. Now, I live outside of Washington, D.C., and aside from the beautiful area and the wonderful things to do in this part of the country, we know that Washington, D.C. is the center of our government, and with it comes a lot of federal agencies that are looking for people to fill those positions. Now, as an active job seeker and mid-career professional, you may be considering applying to a federal job or seeking to advance to a different agency. But like many job seekers who listen to this podcast, often find that the whole job search process can get a little overwhelming. And one of the purposes here is to just simply take a lot of that overwhelm away from you so you can get some really clear and definitive steps for how to navigate as you build your mid-career GPS. Now, my guest today is going to answer many of your questions about applying to federal positions. Javier Lopez proudly serves as the Geek in Chief and co-founder of the GovGeeks LLC, a learning and professional development endeavor committed to helping public servants get in and get ahead in government. Through coaching, workshop facilitation, and public addresses, Javier presents the genuine value of service. Drawing upon over two decades as a high-performing federal executive and an adjunct professor of organizational leadership, Javier is a scholar, practitioner, and keynote speaker who offers helpful career strategies that focus on personal empowerment and mission success. His unique insights are of value to individuals and organizations alike. Now, Javier holds an MS in administration from Trinity Washington University and a BA from the University of Texas at El Paso. He is credentialed as a professional certified coach from the ICF, the International Coaching Federation, and a certified professional coach from the Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching, where we both got our coaching certification from. He's equipped with an array of professional training and certifications and is well-versed in the functions of government. One of the things you will hear from Javier today is how committed he is to serving in this capacity, not only as a federal employee and executive, but also as a coach. Javier, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, John. I really appreciate it. Well, wow, what a great introduction, too. I feel all like bubbly and all happy and everything. This is fantastic.
I've said this before on the podcast. Like, I love it when guests get to hear their bio read back to them and they get to hear all the things that come back, because there's very few times in our career where we actually have that happen. And it is without question, my friend, that you have done a lot of amazing things.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Yeah. And you know, the fantastic thing is that in government, there's a lot of amazing things to do. So I really am so excited to be here to speak with your community about government, about opportunities to serve the public. And it's great because Karen and I, my fellow geek here at the GovGeeks, we created the GovGeeks with this idea of helping individuals to do the work that they're passionate about in government, so that when they're doing all of these great things, it serves the people. So by extension, we are helping make the world a better place by empowering individuals to really excel in government service.
So well said. And I'm glad you beat me to the punch on that, because we would be remiss if we didn't talk about your wife, Karen, and all of her work with the GovGeeks, and also her outstanding federal service as well. So everybody who is listening, Javier and Karen are absolutely a dynamic duo when it comes to their family and their relationship and the work that they do. So huge shout out to Karen as well. And I look forward to talking with her really soon as well.
Absolutely.
So thanks. All right. So I love asking this question of all of my guests as we get started. So what did you want to be growing up?
Oh, such a great question. Well, you know, we are called the GovGeeks, and we definitely like to bring the geek. We're all about, you know, these ideas about whom we could really grow into, because the idea about growing up to be our own heroes and all of that. So when I was younger, I was always just in love with the concept of really like your Doc Browns of Back to the Future. Or also just characters that are really able to take their genius and apply it in a way that really brings fulfillment and passion for them. And it's amazing, because I certainly found that in public service, but also actually in coaching. And it's just a great way to connect with people, to help them live lives of purpose, passion, and fulfillment. So coaches out there, public servants out there, definitely superheroes in my book. And of course, just want to say thank you for your service.
Nice. Favorite superhero?
Captain America.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't even have to hesitate on that one. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know what I love so much about Captain America, though? Certainly, there's a lot of other people out there that are stronger, that are faster, that are smarter, all of this great stuff. But it's just the idea that Captain America decides to commit himself to the greater good and to being a value and service to others, regardless of the circumstances. And that, to me, definitely sounds like a public servant. It definitely sounds like a coach. So, yeah. Plus, you know, I think the uniform is just cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is. Absolutely. Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Yeah.
John, so, I'm curious, what about you? What did you want to be when you were growing up?
Oh, I wanted to be a meteorologist when I was growing up.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I wanted to be the guy who got on TV and came into your living room every night at 6 o'clock and was that part of the newscast that would tell you what the weather was going to be like tomorrow and everything. And I so wanted to be on TV in that way. And, and then of course, you know, when I was younger, somebody told me that I wasn't made out for TV. I didn't have the quote unquote look. And I listened, and of course, and just career kind of navigated in a different way. But I love listening and watching to the weather, especially when there's like a big snowstorm coming, or if there's like a major weather event, I am just glued in front of the TV. That's one of the ways I get to geek out, right?
Of course.
I get to geek out and all that kind of math and science type stuff that goes along with it. Yeah. Thanks for
that. Well, here you are. You're hosting a phenomenal podcast. It's really adding value to people's lives. And you have the opportunity, like you said, really to come into people's homes. And when you're talking about like mid-career GPS, this is really important for people because it's shaping their lives. So you are living your dreams.
Yeah, thank you for that. Absolutely, right? It's just a different kind of platform and everything. And I am so honored and grateful that the podcast is taking off as it is. And we're just reaching more and more people. And you get to be a part of that.
There we go. All of us. So, we're all in it together.
We're all in it together. Absolutely. Yes, thank you. Absolutely. So we're gonna get to the GovGeeks and what the GovGeeks is all about and how you help people in that regard. But I want to take it back a little bit. And for you, what was the attraction for working in the federal government and having a career that really allows you to be a civil servant?
Absolutely. So one of my earlier roles was actually a public servant. I was a teacher. I taught in high school. And I love that. I had the opportunity to make a direct impact on people's lives. I was able to be there at a very formative point in their life to help shape careers and everything based upon things that they really cared about. for me, one of the bigger decisions to, well, Karen and I, literally, we sold everything. We sold our couch, our furniture, our patio stuff, our cars, just to have the chance to come out to DC and give this whole thing a shot. I mean, we did everything to try to really make this a really good thing in earnest. We had the idea in our minds that we not only wanted to teach and talk about the subjects, because I also coach speech and debate, but I wanted to be in a position that I could help influence and change things. So it wasn't just like, oh, hey, I saw this on the news, or this is a great thing that I read about not too long ago. Federal government employees, and really all public servants, state, federal, local, et cetera, have the opportunity to shape the world around them to make the world a better place. We're talking about defense programs, social service programs, environmental programs. We're making an impact and we're making a difference. I definitely just really wanted to be a part of that. And I found that in public service and working for the federal government.
And when you think about, you and I have talked about this before plenty of times off the podcast, but there's something I truly admire and respect about you in terms of being such a mission-driven leader and professional. Where or why is it that the federal government has so many different agencies with these different missions that can be really appealing to an active job seeker that might be looking to get into the federal government?
Oh yeah, gosh, you can do pretty much every job in government. I mean, there are positions for barbers and hairdressers. There is a different farm work that you can do. You can be a bartender. That's a great one that I
really
that I love. Absolutely. Yeah, there are job series and all of that for that. Wow. You have different groupings of categories of jobs where you can do things. So I think the bigger thing though with the federal government is you can look directly at the purpose of what your work is, the mission that you're fulfilling as part of the bigger picture, and it connects back to the Constitution. I mean, there is just a direct connection, providing for the safety and well-being of the country, of the citizenry, providing clean air, clean water, all of that for the common defense. I mean, there's just so many different things that you can connect the dots to. And I think when you have such a big and important mission, there's certainly these positions that are out there to do that type of work. We think about like the social contract theory, where us as citizens come into this system and we agree to obey the laws and pay our taxes, all of that great stuff, whatever all of the requirements are that all of us know about. And on the other hand, we have the society that is able to work with us, the structure, the law enforcement, everything else to try to help make sure that we are safe in what it is that we need to do. On the small scale, on the large scale, all of the above. So being a part of it means that you are really fulfilling the vision and the intent of what it means to be a citizen of this country. Because at the end of the day, we are fulfilling these grand ideas where finally the human spirit is able to breathe free and we are able to make that a reality for the nation. That's just beautiful.
Yeah, your passion comes through so loud and clear in talking about this. And so for someone who's listening and they are not currently a federal, state, local employee, and for the purpose of this question, let's just talk federal level right now.
Yeah.
What would be some of the steps that they would need to do to apply for a job within the federal government?
Well, the first thing, and this is a great coaching concept that we like to use with the GovGeeks, and John, I know you do the same thing, being a graduate of IPEC and a fantastic coach yourself as well, but really ask yourself honestly, why? Why are you interested in this type of work? What is it about this type of profession that really drives you? I think a lot of times people, they have assumptions. You know, kind of like how you were saying you wanted to be a meteorologist, but your assumptions based on another person's perspective that you didn't look the right way didn't allow you to pursue that. And so you thought, well, let me make these other choices. Mm-hmm. And if you really have a deep connection with what you care about and what you want to do, you are choosing the career for your own reasons. And that allows you to have a career about fulfillment, about really this idea about purpose. And there's four big areas when it comes to finding career fulfillment and living your purpose. And all of them, if you think about it like a Venn diagram, all the circles overlapping one another are really connected. What are you good at? What can you be paid for? What is it that the world needs? And then lastly, just this idea about like really what kind of drives you, you know, when you're able to align all of these things together, because I could be a fantastic person to play a video game. And I used to love playing many a video game, but there are not that many jobs that I can do that. Right. And then also in terms of like fulfillment, you want to know that you're able to make the world a better place. And as much as I enjoyed video games, there weren't too many opportunities where that allowed the world to become a better place. And when you think about public service, if you can get a job that you're good at, something that you can be paid for, and you're really excited about doing it because you love all of that stuff, and then also you attach onto that, it's meaningful. At the end of the day, you can say, you know, I made this impact. I made this difference. Individuals have their social security checks because of me. Individuals were safe after hurricanes, storms, tornadoes, medical disasters because of me. My little part in helping out towards the greater good. That helps us sleep better at night. And that's a wonderful thing. So for all those individuals that are really interested in deciding what to do in the federal government, start with why. That is absolutely the first question to ask.
Couldn't agree with you more on that. I think for no matter what kind of job you're in or you're looking to go to, that answering that why question and why do I want to do this and why is it important to me and why do I want to serve in this capacity are all great questions for that. You know, your federal employees, my husband's a federal employee. We have near and dear friends who are federal employees. And there certainly is a, I don't know if the right word is misnomer or stereotype, that federal jobs are easy and they're cushy. And we know by all means that that is completely false, right? You all work so hard and so diligent at what you do. But there are certain things that might be more appealing for someone to work in a federal sector. The process of applying for a federal job can be pretty overwhelming.
Sure.
So they've identified the why, right?
Got it.
They know why they want to do. They found the position. Walk us through what the application process might be like in general for a federal job.
Sure. So there's three basic audiences that you want to keep in mind when you are building your resume, when you are considering which jobs to apply for and everything. And this is just a general thing. So the first off, there's the applicant tracking system. Now, not every agency is going to use a lot of whiz-bang, really cool electronic systems to scan and read resumes and all that stuff. But some of them are out there.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I got to give you props for using the word whiz-bang. Just got to give you props on that. And that's good point that not all agencies are going to use an ATS. That's really good to know. All right.
Yeah. Some of them are on board. Some of them are growing towards that area. So might as well make sure that your resume is meeting those things. So make sure that, of course, you know, there's no big pictures, a lot of like windings, characters, things that are like really difficult for computer systems to read, all of that sort of stuff. So the second audience is your human resources or your human capital colleagues. So they essentially go through all of the applicants and ask the basic question, does this person meet the minimum qualifications necessary for this job? So to get through this area, make sure that all of your application materials have the appropriate buzzwords. Look at the job duties description. Use that language in there. There's keywords, there's key buzzwords that demonstrate that a person has those qualifications. So if your resume and your materials doesn't have this stuff, well, you're not demonstrating that you're qualified. I've known many really, really qualified people, well-educated people. They knew the hiring managers ahead of time. They were really excited about this job. They were working with consulting companies and all that, doing this type of work. But their resumes and their materials did not include all of that information. It didn't describe them well enough. So the human capital people were like, yeah, I don't know this person from the other person. All I know is you gave me a resume that says that you're not qualified. So right. You're not going to move forward at that position. Then the third audience are the hiring managers. So this is the ultimate selecting official that's going to sign the piece of paper and grant you the opportunity to assume the role should you choose to accept the position. Nice Mission Impossible stuff there, right? And then also all of the individuals that are reviewing the applications and everything ahead of time. You know, this could be something where they do the first cut, they select the top 50, then they share those resumes with their colleagues and say, please help me select the best candidate to bring in for interviews, all of that stuff. So you need to be able to demonstrate that you not only have the skills and the qualifications necessary, but you have experienced them well enough and have made an impact on the organization. For instance, you can't just say, yeah, I manufacture widgets, or I flip burgers, or I teach classes. Okay, well, how many did you teach? What was the impact to the organization as a result of you teaching? Why is it a good thing that you did these activities? What impact did they have? Make it really engaging. So this way, when you apply for everything, you're able to get through all three of those stages. Any sort of potential computer reviews, make sure all your documentation is good to go. You're uploading the right materials, your scanned copies, for instance, of your transcripts. If you're a current federal employee, your SF-50, your standard form 50, or your personnel record, et cetera, that demonstrates and says, yes, this person is a government employee. Yep. To your human capital colleagues. And then lastly, to the hiring managers themselves. Now it's interesting because you said like, bureaucracy, like there's a big complicated process. Well, it's intended to be that way. Previously, we in government used to have the spoils system. And so a large majority of everyone in government was hired on because they worked on the campaign, they knew the individuals themselves, and it was just unfair because these public dollars were going to certain groups of people and it wasn't equally distributed. So now there is an open review process where everyone has to demonstrate that they have the qualifications. Now, of course, there's still, you know, hiring processes to make sure that veterans are able to get a good shake at this whole thing. People with disabilities or spouses of current and active duty or veterans as well. I mean, students, there's special processes for them as well. There's different political appointments that can happen. There's a lot of stuff that's in there. But by and large, you have to demonstrate that you're qualified for the position.
All right. I've got a couple of follow-up questions on this. That was such great information. So the first is, if someone's looking for a federal job, mm-hmm. USAjobs.gov, is that the place for them to look, or should they be looking somewhere else?
That is a fantastic place to look. Absolutely. The lion's share of positions are out there. The other thing also is just go to USA.gov. Now, this is a larger website where all of the federal government has a number of different positions, agencies, informational resources, all sorts of stuff that's there. Then from there, if you know the job, we figured out the why at this point, and you know the type of target jobs, put in that job title, and then you'll find out which agencies and organizations do that type of work. Then you know for sure, like, okay, cool. These are places that do the things that I care about. I love this mission because you're starting off with that search. Then you can go to USA Jobs and say, well, what are the positions that this place has? I'm really excited about environmental research. I like clean air. I always go back to the environmental stuff because I actually started off my internship with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and I loved it. I was with the clean water group, and it was very impactful for me. But yeah, whatever your area is, mm-hmm. you can find it by looking at these sites. So definitely go to usajobs.gov.
All right. For someone applying to or for a federal position, do they need a federal resume? Like, do they need something that is specially formatted or something like that?
So in terms of specially formatted, make it as plain as possible. There's typically this idea when you compare government resumes to private sector resumes. And the private sector, you know, you're able to submit it to a big group and you have to stand out. So it has to be one page and it has to have the right colors and it has to pop. And there can't be a whole lot of stuff that's in there. Well, you talked about like the whole process, that it's a big thing. So once an individual is selected in federal government, they basically have 1 year on board to help make sure that they're good to go. They're demonstrating that they're qualified and they're good. During that time, the hiring manager can more easily remove them from the position. But then after that, it is so hard to get people removed from their positions. It just really is, especially depending on where the position is and what the work is and all of that. In the private sector, they could just say, hey, you know, we brought you on with the best of intentions to work with this client or that client. That project fell through. We lost the funding. I'm sorry, we have to let you go. That can just happen from one day to the next. You can hire people on Monday, let them go on Friday and say, best of luck. I worked for Northrop Grumman. I worked with Accenture and National Security Services and all that. And I saw that a lot. They had tons of people on board. They had all of these contracts and everything with government and other places. They lost the contract. They lost the bid. Therefore, mass layoffs. It just happened. So you had people that, you know, oh, wait, we're at Lockheed this week. And then they get let go. Oh, hey, there's all these positions now at Northrop Grumman. And people are just like moving around. So you need to make sure that your resume and your materials are good to go for those positions and for that opportunity. Absolutely.
Got it. And then the last follow-up question I have here is, when someone is looking at a job posting and they're mm-hmm. looking at the qualifications, from your experience, is there a certain percentage that they should meet in those qualifications in order to, let's just say, give them permission to apply for the job? They give themselves permission to put the time, effort, and energy into applying for those jobs? Or from your knowledge, is it that if somebody doesn't meet 100% of the qualifications, they should not go ahead and apply?
You should definitely apply. I mean, if there is even a chance that you could really do the job that you have passion for and that you care for, go for it and apply. I mean, the odds of you finding something that you're going to feel 100%, you know, solid for, those really aren't out there all that much. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, even if you did find the position that you were 100%, you know, solid for, that still doesn't mean that you're automatically going to get the position or that everything is going to align and you're going to get it. So absolutely, apply no matter what. The next thing is, yes, demonstrate that you have the qualifications. Now, to do this, look through the qualifications and the duties and all of that and describe how in all of your past positions, you have done that type of work. So it's not necessarily, you know, saying, oh, hey, here's my past experience. Let me cram this in and try to see if it fits this job that I'm applying for. Know the requirements and then analyze that and look backwards in your career and think, when have I had a chance to do this type of broad themed work? So for instance, if you're applying for a management and program analyst position, this is one of my favorite types of positions because it's very broad and it's easy for everyone to understand. Research, analysis, reviews, you know, all of that sort of stuff. You can do that type of work in any number of different positions. We've had clients before where they were transitioning from the food services industry, and they needed to demonstrate that they had research skills. Well, they were doing a lot of that by doing a lot of client analysis when they were helping to order materials for the bar. You know, like, okay, well, how many individuals do we have here weekly? You know, what is the most popular drink? What are the ingredients that are most necessary for that? What are the types of sales and discounts that we can find from our suppliers in order for us to be able to, you know, make a good decision? That's analysis. That's research. That it is totally a transferable skill. So you're not looking backwards in your career, trying to cram it into the next job. You're trying to demonstrate that you have the qualifications for that. The other thing also is you may not necessarily have that exact experience with that specific software that they're asking for, but you need to demonstrate that you can do the work of that position. So as long as you show that you know the intent of why the software is doing that or why that type of material or information is used in the first place, that is showing that you have the capacity to do the work and to do it well. That's what hiring managers are looking for.
Great. Thank you. That's super clear, right? Because I think sometimes we've seen it both in the work that we do with our clients. There's a lot of, be it either imposter syndrome or limiting beliefs that creep in where they're like, I'm really not qualified for this job. And we get to really help them see where they truly are qualified.
Of course.
And we know, especially with federal jobs, the process can be a little intimidating. So
yeah.
When you walk us through a little bit about some of the work that you do with your clients and helping them get in to a job as a public servant in the federal government.
Well, I mean, it connects with that idea about imposter syndrome that you mentioned just a little while ago. We've had the opportunity to work with, honestly, world-class subject matter experts in their fields and their areas. I mean, these individuals have multiple master's degrees, doctorates. They've had years of experience and everything. And even with all of that, they still experience imposter syndrome. I mean, it is a standard thing across the board. It's not like you're ever going to get to a point and you're like, oh, I got this. No worries. Right. You know, so embrace that. You know, that definitely happens. So in terms of like how to really kind of apply for these positions, the technical work and everything. So again, make sure that your resume is formatted correctly. You can use the resume builder that they have on USA Jobs totally for free. You're just inputting all of the information in there. Make sure that you are scanning and uploading all of the appropriate materials that go along with the position that they're asking for. So these are typically like your college transcripts, if necessary. These are your discharge paperwork from military service, if that applies, those sorts of things. The application is going to state all of this information in there. Make sure that your USA Jobs profile is up to date. You know, that you have the right contact information, phone numbers, email address, all that sort of stuff, good to go. The other thing, and I'll let you guys in on a wonderful secret, is to do your own market analysis on your positions. So say you type in the job and it spits back however many positions are available for that. You want to be able to find a job area that is going to have a high rate of success. So that means there's, number one, a lot of positions available in the first place. So you have a lot of opportunity. The odds of you getting a job of 1 out of 300 is better than you getting a job of 1 out of 5. So you're applying for a high, juicy target area. The next is look at the grade levels that those positions are in. And grade levels in government is basically different levels going up from entry level to senior. Make sure that there is room at the point of entry as well as upwards from there. So you know that once you get in there, the odds of you getting that next job and that next promotion are great as well. Because unless you're super passionate about the work and you don't care about, you know, promotions, more money and all that stuff, that's fantastic. But know that you can grow in your career. I've had the opportunity to work shoulder to shoulder with, again, brilliant people, many of whom have lots of experience, PhDs and everything, but they are capped out at their grade levels. They just can't go any higher because the work that position requires, I mean, there just aren't positions that are higher than that. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you have room for growth as you're doing your research for all of this.
I love that comment about room for growth because, especially for mid-career professionals who mm-hmm. are listening, a lot of them are not ready to settle. They're still upwardly mobile. They're still looking for whatever that next position is. And the federal government, I mean, even state and local, there can be some great opportunities for people to grow in that regard. So such a great point for you mentioning that.
All right. I get buzzword bingo.
You get Woo-hoo! Buzzword bingo. Absolutely.
That's a big deal in government when you're applying for resumes and everything too. Got to hit the buzzwords.
Got to hit the buzzwords, right? And then of course, like any big organization, right? There's always the alphabet soup and the acronyms and the the letters you got to know that stand for this, that, and the other thing and stuff like that.
Yeah, CPC, PCC, MCC, IPEC, ICF. I mean, it's in every area. These are all
every
coaching
organization
acronyms.
has their own alphabet soup. Absolutely.
ELI.
Yeah, right? Yay for the Energy Leadership Index for anybody who's had a chance to take that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Why did you and Karen create the GovGeeks?
We came to a point in our careers where a number of our colleagues, friends, and friends of our colleagues and friends and family reached out to us, and they would ask a simple question. How did you get here? How did you do this? I mean, look at you guys. You're like super young. How is it that, you know, you were able to do this? Or they'll say, you know how long I've been trying to get a government job and I can't get even an interview. We were fortunate. So by the time or before I was, so I'm going to age myself a little bit. Before I was 30, I had the opportunity to be a GS-14, which was great. And so, you know, growing, and by the time I got my GS-15, and I have been in that level now for, you know, 10, 11 years, something like that. A lot of people would ask that question. And honestly, this is something that I got a lot of times throughout my career. When I was a teacher, I was one of the youngest teachers. And it's all about, well, how do you meet the needs of the organization that you are interested in working with? It's not about like, hey, I have this to offer or that to offer, but you're asking, well, if you were a person that's going to choose to buy something, you know, you are a steward of taxpayer dollars. You are empowered with the authority to make a hiring decision and use those dollars in one way or the other. If you're a consumer going to whatever shopping store and you have to make the best decision, well, you know, your factors and your requirements and you're evaluating everything. You want to choose the best thing. So companies and organizations create products to design to meet those needs so that they have the highest likelihood of being chosen because they want to earn money. I mean, that's just how it works. So think about that from your career management perspective. What is it that organizations are willing to pay for? What is there a need for? And how can I make sure that I have those qualifications and I'm demonstrating them in a way that makes me a really valuable individual? And when you're looking at your mid-career, what got you here won't get you there. So if you're thinking about next steps, I want to be an executive. I want to get out of this position. I'm really excited about this other line of work. Think about it from the hiring manager's perspectives. Do you need to have more leadership competencies and abilities? Do you need to have more proven success managing projects? And believe it or not, the answer is not always, I need more education. Right. So often, you know,
point.
I'm working with clients and they're like, oh, I don't know how to do this. You know, I need to study and get this certification. I need a PMAP on this thing. I need to plan out everything, like a performance management plan to help me get to that point. Or heck, I need another master's degree, which is why, you know, some people, they just continue to go out. And we have this idea baked into our minds ahead of time when we're growing up. Study hard, you're going to get a good job after this. You know, get good grades in high school so you can get to the right college. So this way you can get to the right job. Well, I'm at my job. What do I need to do now? Well, what worked before? I don't know, get another degree. Okay, well, let me go more into debt. I'm going to spend more money and time and try to get this next degree, when that isn't necessarily what hiring managers are looking for. Give them what they need. That's the main thing. It's just like in all relationships. Give the other person what they're looking for.
Yeah, and so today, you help. I mean, so as part of the GovGeeks, you're helping people get into federal jobs or grow in their position in federal jobs. What are some of the other services the GovGeeks offer?
So we're all about career coaching. It's not just like, hey, let me pay however much money and get a resume that I can then shop around all over the place. Because we're all about career fulfillment. So to do that, yeah, we have lots of services to really work with people to help them manage all of that. And it's really from the coaching perspective. Why is it that this is important to you? Why do you care about that? So you can come on out to thegovgeeks.com. If I could just plug that really quick.
Absolutely.
We're on LinkedIn. We're on YouTube. There's tons of free resources that we have available. We have videos and articles. Signing up for our outreach community, or what we call the Gov Geekdom, you get access to a free online course that has a resume template that works with USA Jobs. Tons of links to things like OPM's Personnel Handbook of Occupational Groups and Families, which is a wonderful thing. It's publicly available, but we show you how to leverage it. We show you how to use GSA Advantage to find out how much industry is charging for services that you provide to the government. So that can help with salary negotiations and make sure you're getting paid what you're worth. And then also, what are the key characteristics of what a person needs to be qualified for? Is it grades, experience? Is it, degrees, all of that sort of stuff? That is all spelled out for you to follow along to make sure you know for sure what you need. I mean, this is all part of the career coaching process and what we offer. And also, John, we have a book that's coming out soon too. We're super excited about
that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's called The Gov Geek's Guide to Government Resumes. We're creating a series. We're going to do a couple of books. One is a nearing publication here towards the end of July. We're excited about that. We'll announce that to all of our communities. But then also, we're doing one on networking. We're doing one on interviews to make sure we're good to go with all of that. Mm-hmm. And then the last one that we have planned is really just about soft skill development. You know, it's not just a technical aspect of how you apply for things, but once you're there, how do you make the most of your opportunity? How do you use a mid-career GPS to allow yourself to really grow into opportunities and areas and all of that? But yeah, we're super stoked and excited about all of this. Yeah,
you've got so many really good things coming up. And probably by the time this podcast drops, if your book is not already published and out there, it will be soon. But I will make sure that those links and everything are in the show notes so people
can such a nice
go
guy.
Ahead. Yeah, I try, you know.
See, that is why people listen to this podcast.
That's right.
People love this guy.
Absolutely. Lots of information for everybody that's there. And I'm checking the time. I say this every single episode. The time just flies by.
Oh, yeah.
And so as we wrap up, Javier, what advice would you give to someone who is in the process of building their mid-career GPS? And I'm going to put a little caveat in here. They're building their mid-career GPS and they're thinking about moving into a career that is more focused on public service.
Well, absolutely. So going along with the idea about GPS, know what your true north is. I had the opportunity to hear from a good colleague of mine that said true power is not being able to make the other person do something. You know, I want to be a supervisor so I can instruct people to do this. I want to be the assistant secretary so I have the power to make changes and all of that stuff. The true power is being able to know confidently what you want, what you don't want, and then the ability to just walk away. So if you have the chance to get a job, get a position, choose one that is a good fit for you, that you know. It could be a great opportunity, great money and everything, but if it's not right for you, don't accept a position. Just know that for sure. Because at the end of the day, I think one of the bigger lessons learned from this pandemic and everything is that people want to have fulfillment. And your life and your purpose is yours and yours alone. So don't dim your light for anyone else just to get a paycheck. Make your life what you want to make it. And public service really is the thing to help people do that if you're passionate about what that is. Large missions, large goals. There's also a term called inherently governmental. In other words, there's only certain things that you can do in government that you can't do anywhere else. That is the opportunity that you have by being there, by being part of the whole thing. If you are excited about the chance to really make a difference, to really be there in the moment and front page news sorts of stuff, be involved in agencies and organizations that really do make a difference in people's lives and well-being, I welcome you to public service. And this is a fantastic opportunity and just really appreciate your commitment to helping others.
Ah, love that. So well said, my friend. Look, if anybody wants to get in touch with you or connect with you, give us where they can follow you and find you, please.
Oh, absolutely. So please go to our website, thegovgeeks.com. And if you use the GovGeeks as a search term, we again just enter it in on LinkedIn. We're the GovGeeks is on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. We're on a lot of areas. So reach out to us. Go to thegovgeeks.com/contact us. There's a little information page in there where you can submit a question. Set up a free 30-minute session with us. We're happy to talk with you about what it is that we do, give you some career guidance. We're happy to do free resume reviews as well, just to have the opportunity to connect on things and be of value and be of service. And then if things are really deeper and you feel a connection with what we do and how we work, then it'd be great if we can have a great conversation to see about what that would look like for us to work together.
Nice. Well, again, for anybody who is listening that is considering a job in the federal government or even your state or local government and want to connect and learn more from Javier and his wife, Karen, by all means, check out the GovGeeks. They are a fantastic organization that is helping a lot of people step into what it means to be mission-driven in the government workspace. So Javier, thank you so much for not only spending time with me today, but also for just the work you are doing and truly helping to make the world a better place. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm happy to be here.
My pleasure. All right, everyone. I wish you a great rest of the day. And as you're taking another step or another mile in building your mid-career GPS, remember, how you show up matters. Make it a great rest of the day. If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. And I'd appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review. Visit johnnarrell.com to download your free copy of the 55-Minute Career Transition Jumpstart to help you start building your mid-career GPS. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social @JohnNarrellCoaching. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.